If you ask the question, is the vagus nerve involved? The answer is yes, overwhelmingly, because it does so many things. It comes out of your brainstem, goes down to innervate your heart, pacemaker cells of your heart, and then it loops back up from your heart to innervate muscles of speech and swallowing. So I like to say that it's literally the nerve that allows you to speak your heart.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here again on another brand new episode. And I've got an amazing guest. And this is one of the areas of wellness that I don't think is talked about enough. I know I talk about it a lot on my show because I am a firm believer that understanding this particular topic had a lot to do with my extreme wellness journey and how fast it happened. I really think that if I hadn't known about the fight or flight, the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system and how trauma plays into our lack of well-being or our well-being, to me, that's really an important overlooks place to understand why our body have places of disease and impairment. And tonight we have an amazing person. Her name is Melanie Weller, and she's the world's leading expert in treating the vagus nerve as a pinched nerve. She'll explain what that means. But when I read this and we chatted beforehand, I was so right on with that because I've actually had a similar treatment to that. And I was amazed at the amazing relief I got after my treatments. And she has an extensive background in treating patients that no one else can help. And she focuses on mitigating burnout and optimizing performances in even famous people like celebrities, entertainers, athletes, and medical professionals. She's a physical therapist, board-certified orthopedic clinical specialist, a certified athletic trainer, and certified exercise expert for aging adults. And we could say aging adults like any word, I mean, any age there, because, you know, I think none of us have ever escaped unscathed, right? So welcome, Melanie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, me too, Melanie. Now, I know we chatted beforehand when we were introduced, and everyone, this is what I love. How the Autoimmune Hour community grows is someone will say, you need to invite so-and-so, or here, let me introduce you to so-and-so. And Melanie, I have a mutual friend, the Soul Nectar Show amazing host named Carrie Hummingbird. She introduced Melanie and I, and I was so excited because, Melanie, let's talk about what is the vagus nerve for people who don't know.
So the vagus nerve is the 10th cranial nerve. We have 12 of them. And that means it comes out of your brainstem. So it is outside of your spinal cord. As your vagus, it does many things. And what I'm going to describe is really just kind of scratching the surface. In general, with the body, if you ask the question, is the vagus nerve involved? The answer is yes.
Okay.
Because it does so many things. But it comes out of your brainstem. It goes down to innervate your heart, pacemaker cells of your hearts. And then it loops back up from your heart to innervate muscles of speech and swallowing. So I like to say that it's literally the nerve that allows you to speak your heart.
I love that. That's so true. It's on so many levels.
I really think it's a nerve that so deeply is involved in connection within ourselves and with each other that I think it's easy to make the case both scientifically and metaphorically around that. It is involved in all of your senses. There's lots it does before it even gets down to there. It travels down along your esophagus and goes through your respiratory diaphragm to innervate all the muscles of your digestive system. So it is what innervates the muscles that move the food through. And in women, it goes into the cervix and clitoris. Beyond that, it's highly involved in signaling when you get full or when you're hungry. It's involved with a lot of bile secretion and digestive enzyme secretion. You cannot absorb vitamin B12 without your vagus nerve. It mediates sweating. And for the autoimmune community, the reason I've been so passionate about the vagus nerve for so many years is that it also mediates inflammation.
Wow. Yes. It's an impressive, necessary body nerve. That was surprising to me. Now, one thing you had mentioned to me that made a lot of sense, and I just want to take this slight left turn about when we were discussing the nerve earlier, was how it travels vertically, yet muscles that are horizontal can sometimes pinch this off. So can we talk about that a little bit so people can kind of get the flavor of how this nerve runs and then what happens as our body, as we just live day to day?
Sure. So it's well understood through science and physiology that trauma always affects the voice and the breath. And your vocal cords and your respiratory diaphragm are horizontal muscles. They're horizontally oriented. But you have other structures that are horizontally oriented as well, like your pelvic floor is horizontally oriented as well. And it would be fair to say that in extreme trauma, you know, it will affect the voice, the breath, and sometimes people lose bowel and bladder control as well in the midst of trauma.
Well, of course. I mean, how many times I'm thinking of trauma, everything tightens up.
Absolutely. And right. And so, I include the base of the skull, your thoracic inlet, which is a series of structures that run through your shoulder, and the space between your heart and your spine, also in my major compression points. And nobody experiences trauma or stress and has really great arm swing when they walk. When we experience trauma and stress, we lock up and we stop rotating. And these horizontal structures are a very important part of our transverse plane, which is the plane on which we rotate when we move. And when these horizontal structures get tight, I contextualize the majority of my work through the vagus nerve getting pinched, but really when they're tight, you're pinching all of your arteries and veins and nerves that are vertically going through them. And so if you don't have this horizontal system optimized, you are much less likely to have good health. Rotation is the first thing we get up and usually the last thing that we get back. But I have found that addressing it in the way that I do has created I call it the shortest path to your highest potential. That is, there's a faster and easier way to do it. I think we often make healing way too hard too.
Well, I think there are lots of reasons we could go down that rabbit hole of making healing too hard for sure. Everything from just some lots and lots of strange information out there, as well as, we could go down that rabbit hole, but I really want to focus on the vagus nerve, because as well as this horizontal rotation, one of the things that I found fascinating was when you were talking about that we lose the swing, we lose the ability to rotate, and how you and other trained professionals can just see that by the way we walk and move through the world. Mm-hmm. Now, what was fascinating to me, though, is I was curious, does that rotation and that swing also help move the lymph around?
Oh, I'm sure. I think the rotation is such a critical part of alignment across the board. And certainly lymph glands have smooth muscle tissue in them, so they can go into spasm themselves. So that can also be a whole nother discussion. But the vagus nerve and the skeletal muscle piece of it intersect really nicely is that they use the same neurotransmitter. They both use acetylcholine. And so when you decompress the vagus nerve, you get beautiful musculoskeletal responses to that. And I think that's because of the shared neurotransmitter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I know the work that I've had done on this idea of the vagus nerve being a pinched nerve and the releasing of fascia and things like that. What amazed me was I didn't think I was having trouble rotating. I was moving through the world thinking I was walking just fine and all of that, until I had a physical therapist actually do the work with me. And what was shocking to me was, number one, is how fast my body responded to it. It did sometimes want to go back to the old way, But once I had felt the new way versus the old way, that was really helpful for me to understand, be able to go, oh, I think I'm turtling again, is what I called it, sort of pulling myself into my shell. What are some ways people can figure out, like, okay, is this my problem? What are some tips that you give to people? Like, oh, that's when you need to ask to see a PT.
I have on my website for signing up for my email list, you can get a full handout and video that gives you a self-assessment. The hard part about explaining it in this format, and I'm happy to walk through a few of them here, we all take the path of least resistance with movement. It's the human way. We are master cheaters, master compensators of the way we move. And it's not cheating intentionally. It's just what we do. You know, if you have a restriction, you're going to move around it and take that motion from somewhere else. And so what I do a lot is try to get people to really look at their uncompensated range of motion. So if you're going to think about how far you can turn your head to the right and left, to really be sensitive about like where you're running into a brick wall or where you might be kind of, I call it going over a speed bump, you know, that you do a little head tilt or something to get the rest of the motion going. But the short answer is just, you know, seeing how much you can turn your head right and left, looking slightly down towards the floor, about 45 or 50 degrees, and seeing how far you turn right and left that way. In this position, it's normal to go about 45 degrees in each direction. How far your shoulder, your ability to move your shoulder across, you know, especially from like this, like if this is 90 degrees straight ahead, to being able to come across about 30, normal would be about 35 degrees. And you should be able to do that without bringing your shoulder blade.
Oh, running your shoulder into.
Right, right. And so there's some very specific way, you know, I teach people in the self-assessment part, really how to monitor their own tendency to cheat, you know, shoulder internal rotation. So if you bring your arms up like goalposts, and rotate downwards, it would be normal to go about 70 degrees in this direction. So if you're stuck up here in the 10, 20, 30 degrees of motion, that would be problematic. You know, even just sitting with your feet flat on the floor and your weight evenly on your sit bones and turning to the right and turning to the left and really keeping your weight even on your sit bones the whole way through. Because as soon as you want to shift onto one sit bone, you're done. Like that's
the speed bump.
Your compensation. That's your speed bump. that's your compensation. And so tight hip flexors, if you do yoga or you work out and your trainer or your yoga instructor, or you just know that you have tight hip flexors are always a result of dysfunction of this horizontal system. I have not treated a hip flexor directly in years, because when you get this horizontal system correct, the hip flexors just relax and say thank you.
Oh, wow.
Because your respiratory diaphragm inserts into your hip flexors, and the hip flexor response tightness is a secondary response to diaphragm dysfunction.
Oh my gosh. You know what just comes into my head is that childhood song with the knee bones connected to the thigh bone.
Absolutely.
I can just see how it's almost unwinding a jigsaw puzzle or something.
It really is. And it's been, and that's part of my joy is like figuring out, like, I love that sort of puzzle, and you know, and it's come together over years and years of practice and failing and getting people that didn't respond the way that I expected them to respond to a technique. But I'll tell you, I have a test for the big toe, which I'll try and demonstrate here on my thumb. If I take your big toe and lift it up, and the ball of your big toe drops towards me, if that's the first thing that happens, that ball kind of drops down versus staying level and allowing the toe to come up, I know immediately that you're stuck at your vagus nerve is pinched at the base of your skull every single time, especially if you don't have any big toe pathology.
Wow.
You're not coming, you know, for a big toe. Like that tells me instantly that you're stuck at the base of your skull. Like your toe bone is literally connected to your head bone via the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve doesn't go into your lower extremities. So there's no direct connection there. And that's where I think the shared neurotransmitter is really powerful, because you just get these incredible systemic responses. And because your vagus nerve is the major part of your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your grace under pressure, it's your calm, it's your pleasure, sexual arousal is a parasympathetic function, that it's really, really important to have this system in place. We lock trauma in a fraction of a second when it happens. And it takes our hindbrains 10 seconds to realize that we've experienced pleasure. So it takes,
well, I guess one's more important to survival if I think about it that way.
Well, absolutely. Right. And it comes from that. But, you know, we can also give ourselves permission to, you know, to experience pleasure and enjoy life and to not be always in this sort of heightened state, because because trauma does dial down your vagus nerve. And so then your sympathetic system takes over and you're in this heightened state of fight and flight. And if you're in if you've had an extreme trauma, you might even be stuck in freeze mode, which is also a vagus mediated function. And I have some theories about what freeze mode looks like in the body as well, because I find that when I see somebody that's in what I call vagus nerve lockdown, that they just don't look to me like they're compressed, but their whole system is just, it's a much more severe restriction with it. I ask all of those people if they are contemplating suicide.
Oh, wow.
And the answer is overwhelmingly yes.
Oh my gosh.
And so I know exactly how that shows up in the body. And I'm really passionate about trying to get that out to understand that, you know, we all have, the way I describe it, we all have a physical expression of our internal narrative.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've had many experts on, you amongst them, who have talked to us about that internal talk. And then stories we either tell, retell, or make up about ourselves, and how that can keep inflammation going, among many other things.
Absolutely. It really does. And we know we have conversely, we have an internal expression of our physical narrative as well. And I think that what happens essentially in somebody that's in full vagus nerve lockdown is that their body is really quiet. I'll just say, like, you know, I have a lot of training with visceral mobilization and feeling a lot of deeper rhythms in people's bodies. And those are all very, very quiet when somebody's in full vagus nerve lockdown. And even though they're warm and they're talking and they're walking and all that, you know, they can do all this kind of stuff, there's an aspect of them that actually does feel dead inside. And I think that they're trying to, the relationship that's always consistent no matter what, to me, is as above, so below. You're always trying to match those two things.
Wow. Now, one little side story, guys, about the noise. I was so surprised. I was at my physical therapist getting some treatment for this at one time, and all of a sudden my belly started making noises, and the physical therapist got somewhat excited because that was her signal that the rest and digest had popped in, and I was no longer, you know, the body had shifted in the way that she was wanting it to. And so really funny to me, those gurgles had always been a bit embarrassing, and now I'm so proud of the gurgles, because then it means I'm in rest and digest.
Yes, absolutely. I love the gurgles. I think that they're an excellent, excellent sign that the vagus nerve is starting to shift. I would even say beyond that, that your heart and your brain are coming into what's called coherence, and that's a measurable value.
Wow, this is just amazing. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more to Melanie about some of the things that more things we need to watch for, and some of the things maybe we can do here at home to help us either get through it or find someone who can help us. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text. And for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Melanie Weller, and she is the world's leading expert on treating the vagus nerve as a pinched nerve. And she's been describing to us, first of all, what is the vagus nerve, which thank you very much for describing how critically important it is to the overall system, as well as just some of the signs to watch out for when the vagus nerve is acting up on us. So one of the other questions I wanted to know about is, before I get into some of my other things, was what research do you have we can take to our own physical therapists or we take to our doctors and say, hey, you know, maybe we should look at this?
Give you just the way to recognize, the easiest way to that we're most familiar with our own vagus nerves is when we get a lump in our throats, our heart, when our heart starts to race, we get our digestion shifts, we get constipation or diarrhea, our palms sweat, because those are all vagus nerve mediated functions.
What's interesting about that, that also sounds a lot like irritable bowel.
Exactly. Oh. So if you're having like a tightness in your chest, you're having anxiety. Anxiety to me is very much a vagus nerve, like a pinched vagus nerve.
Wow.
So if you're having these, you know, digestive upset, palm sweating, even neck tightness, or you somebody who really carries your stress in your neck, that can all be vagus nerve related or have a very strong component of that.
You know, it's funny because I can think of how many doctors that I hear this from Courage Club members all the time about, I was told I have anxiety and told to take a pill or whatever. And it's funny to me how many of our primary medical professionals never mentioned to us, maybe it could be a vagus nerve problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Giving you, even if you have anxiety and you need to take medication, getting your vagus nerve freed gives you the bandwidth to deal with things more fully. That, you know, like when you're really in a, you know, the more severely things are pinched, we just lose the bandwidth to mitigate stress in our lives. And to even when our ties in, when your heart and your brain are in coherence, and there are more connections from your heart up to your brain than there are from your brain down to your heart. You get more messages going up.
Oh, really?
Than you do going down. Right, right. So this is where the vagus nerve stuff is really powerful. And when you get your heart into coherence, and that's measured, there's a, the measurable term for that is called heart rate variability. And that's the gold standard measurement. There's over 200,000 research articles on it. It's, you can buy little devices that attach to your ear or your finger and can synchronize with an app to your phone that where you can work on your own heart rate variability as well. And when you really get your heart into coherence, what happens to your brain is that you get out of the fight and flight mechanisms and you get into a higher level of thinking. You get into your neocortex and your higher thinking centers. And so then you can have a broader perspective about what's going on and not be so on the hamster wheel in your life or perseverating on the little things. You get that you have that broader view when you get your vagus nerve healthy, and that allows you to cope better in your life as well.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so surprised that oftentimes this isn't even mentioned as a methodology for helping you heal, whether from any number of things. It's just shocking to me how little is, at least in my experience, maybe other people have had a broader experience about it.
You're more likely to get some exposure to it if you see a physician that specializes in functional medicine. But even then, it's not always the... I'm so thrilled to see the vagus nerve more and more in the media and in literature, you know, that it's starting to come to get into, to get some spotlight on it now and then, certainly more than it did 20 years ago when I was introduced to the concept that your vagus nerve could get pinched.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just at the base of the skull. And the osteopathic literature has published research that shows that when you do suboccipital decompression techniques, that it improves your heart rate variability, which is that measure of your vagus nerve.
Wow, this is surprising to me. I wanted to circle back on one thing. If you could go into more detail, you were mentioning about phone apps and things for heart rate variability. What mm-hmm. is heart rate variability?
Heart rate variability is a measure of, like, if you think about it, what an EKG looks like, and you've got the
ups and downs.
Ups and downs kind of thing. It's essentially a measure of the space between the peaks. But what you can imagine that, say, somebody who's anxious, like, so first of all, I'll say we all have a normal heart rate variability that depends on our age. Like, there's sort of an ideal zone depending on your age. And there's normative data that's established that. And so you can imagine that, say, somebody who's anxious might have a really high heart rate variability, that they're going to be outside of that zone, and that maybe those peaks, instead of looking like nice rounded sine waves, would be, or they're going to be really jagged. They're going to be sharp ups and downs. And somebody who's very severely depressed is going to have a flatter, they might have a more flat heart rate variability where they're not filling up the space.
The average range. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, wow. So I'm just learning all sorts of new things that I'm just always surprised at how much this could affect our health and inflammation in our body and so many other things.
Absolutely. Well, and let me loop back kind of more medically in the research. Where it is more common in medicine is neurosurgeons will sometimes implant a vagus nerve stimulator on the vagus nerve, usually at the level of the neck, because that's where it's most accessible, for people with epilepsy, for seizure control, and for sometimes for chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Sometimes those cases will also get vagus nerve stimulators. In vagus nerve stimulation is used as a research tool, and what they found is that when electrical stimulation is applied to the vagus nerve, it reverses the mitochondrial damage that is associated with heart disease, specifically ischemic heart disease, which is heart disease from lack of blood flow. And your mitochondria are deep inside your cells. They're not directly innervated by your vagus nerve, but it's a beautiful secondary effect that it offers mitochondrial healing. It has also been shown to reverse insulin resistance in diabetics. And there's just tons and tons of really exciting research going on. The FDA has approved a vagus nerve stimulator for migraines that can, where you can apply it externally to the neck. I'm not sure if it's covered by insurance, but it is available for purchase now. And outside of the stimulation research, how well your vagus nerve functions predicts how long people with pancreatic cancer will survive. And in women with complete spinal cord injuries, which means that they have no function below the level of their injury, they can achieve orgasm with vagus nerve stimulation.
My goodness. Nerve just seems like it's
there's so much amazing research
right up
on it. Like, it would, like, I'm always seeing new things that are associated with it, and there's even research in the psychiatric literature that vagus nerve is involved with schizophrenia.
Wow.
There's some association there, and I have two clients that came to me with acute onset of hallucinations that resolved with my vagus nerve decompression. And my PT friends always look at me a little sideways when I tell that story, because they're like, they were having hallucinations and they thought of you.
That's nothing personal. Nothing personal.
But that's the, that's what happens when your reputation is that you're the body whisperer. You get the people nobody else has been able to solve.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Now, quick question though. If we are hearing maybe some part of this, we ourselves, we know someone, what is specifically that we would ask? I mean, I know not all PTs are created equal. Some special?
No. Yeah. To ask the ones, PTs that have more training in manual therapy, particularly from an osteopathic perspective are more likely to understand this.
So there isn't a specific, I'll say, subspecialty that we just say there's some great big long word we could hardly pronounce. And it's just to understand that they need to have an understand. I guess we just ask, what's your background in vagus nerve?
Yeah, I would just ask if they have any, if they have an understanding of decompressing the vagus nerve. It certainly takes, there's an osteopathic technique called strain counterstrain that's been around for 100 years or so. And therapists that have an understanding of strain counterstrain would be more likely to have an understanding of vagus nerve compression in general. There are also, just in manual medicine, manual therapy in general, there are direct techniques, which are like a chiropractic manipulation, like if somebody pops your back, or somebody's doing like a trigger point release on you, where you're really directly going, you're moving the joint the way you want the joint to move. And then there are indirect techniques where what the osteopath that coined the term strain counterstrain discovered is that if you take a structure of the body and put it on slack and hold it there for 90 seconds or so, or a muscle especially, it resets the neurological mechanism that's keeping it tight in the first place.
Yeah, I've experienced strain counterstrain, and I have found it amazing as far as how fast it works and I'll say how long it stays.
Absolutely. Well, it's like rebooting the computer.
Oh, now it makes sense why. I was impressed, but yeah. I had no understanding of what it was actually doing.
Yeah. And I expect when I treat somebody that what I fix will stay, and I have very high expectations that people move through what I do very quickly. And even if they come back with the same symptoms, they present physically very differently. Like there's a different, like we've taken off one layer and we've uncovered a very different layer, but the range of motion, vagus nerve restrictions are really quite easy to resolve. And your body really wants to get healthy. Your body wants to be well.
Oh,
it doesn't want to be sick.
No, I've said that. Yeah, I've said that all along. This is an amazing healing machine given the right circumstances. Now we just...
Right. And so you give it like a little glimpse at the end of the tunnel and it really starts to open up. And I guess what I love about, with adults, especially working through the vagus nerve makes them a little bit more like working with kids. Because when you work with a child, you can do a third of what you would do with an adult and get three times the results. Like children heal so much. Like it works so much faster. But with adults, because we're much more embedded in our story and different, there's different things, reasons that sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But my favorite two reactions that help me know that somebody's really going to have major transformation. And the first one is when they cry. Mm. And the difference between acute, subacute pain and chronic pain is that chronic pain is locked into your limbic system, which is where your emotions are processed in your brain. And you need an emotional key to unlock your pain from that. So people with a flat affect are the ones that you worry about getting better. But it's when somebody cries, and it happened, and especially with people with autoimmune disorders and chronic pain, and people that just haven't feel like their story hasn't been heard, when I give them the whole story, the story of their body in the context of the vagus nerve and what's happening, it's often overwhelming for them because they feel heard.
Right.
Because often these people have been referred to the psychiatrist more often than they've been referred to the physical therapist, and nobody, they say it's all in your head. And so I think so few patients are lying or exaggerating or malingering or anything like that, that there's really, that we need to, the medical system needs to know how to listen better and to really look at the whole system. The second reaction that I like to see is when people get up off my table, and I work with people online too, but and their pain's gone and they can't quite figure out where it went. They look a little confused about where it went. And then they get angry because they don't think it should have been that easy to get better.
Oh.
Because they've been, they've been around the block a few times.
Right. It's like somebody should have told me sooner.
Somebody should have told me this sooner. I cannot believe after all I've been through that it was that easy. And so, and that really kind of like I, deep down, I like that reaction too. And it tells me I know they're going to get better because they got angry. Like, it's really important to have that emotional reaction. The leading pain science researchers will tell you that they also love it when somebody gets angry or cries because they know they're going to get better.
You know, that's one of the reasons I started the show, was based on some anger of my original diagnosis, how long it took and some of the things I went through in the discovery process. And I have to say, anger and emotional release are great motivators.
Absolutely. Well, and they get you moving in a direction. Sometimes the complacency is one of the worst places to be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We need to take our final quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more, because I just find all of this so fascinating. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Melanie Weller, and she's the world's leading expert on treating the vagus nerve as a pinched nerve. And we've been talking all things vagus nerve, and I am just completely fascinated everywhere we've got. We talked a little bit about the physiology, and then we've talked about the research. And before we had to take that quick commercial break, we got into this emotional part of it, I would call it, or maybe, I'm not sure what the right words are, but this part of what else gets trapped in our body besides maybe a tense muscle or a lock muscle? And I know, Melanie, you talk a lot about the mythology and the narratives we tell ourselves and how we can keep that locked in as part of all of this. And you were mentioning that sometimes people cry and other times people get angry. Are those times where that story can get released, or stories, I should say, can get released? Or how does the stories we tell ourselves about what's happening play into this?
Well, I think in the bigger picture, well, I do a lot of what I call story prescription. And this is another part of my practice, and really looking at mythology as a mode of scientific writing. So that, like, to help. So if you're having, and there are certain myth stories that tell very specifically our anatomical stories, but then also help us kind of dig into the underlying stress. But in terms of the vagus, my favorite saying is that words are spells, and that's why you call it spelling. So the story you tell yourself,
oh, I love that,
is going to manifest at some level. And sometimes these are stories that as adults, we've kind of forgotten that we told ourselves because we told them so early on, they're just kind of embedded.
I'm also thinking though, that there may be not stories we told ourselves, maybe friends and family members from long ago, when we were little,
absolutely,
told stories, mm-hmm, and we believe them to be true.
Yep. Absolutely. And we know now that we inherit the traumas of our ancestors as well. So we're carrying around the stories of our ancestors and learning how to shed that story as well is an important part of working with people that have complicated ongoing things.
Well, that's what you had said about these layers. Now it's starting to make sense that if we're peeling back our own story and all of a sudden we're into our family story and then an ancestral story, gosh, that would make sense. It's sort of peeling back layers.
Absolutely. And we know also that posture changes your body chemistry. That, like, if you stand like Wonder Woman or your favorite superhero for 2 minutes, that you get elevated testosterone and lower cortisol levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my work with body language, which is, everyone here on the show knows that's my other job. One of the things I talk about that posture is it absolutely makes it easier to breathe in that posture. Mm-hmm. You're not all tight if you're taking the posture of Wonder Woman, the Superman.
Absolutely.
It becomes so much easier to breathe in that posture. People are like, wow, you know, I don't feel like Superman. I'm like, oh, yeah, just breathe a little deeper because you're opened up your rib cage there.
Right. And so if you want to create a different situation in your life, you know, whether that's reversing your autoimmune disease or getting rid of your pain or whatever, or just wanting more abundance or anything else, you literally have to start moving differently through your life.
Absolutely. Like, quick story, I had a client come to me one time and I'd met him in person several times and I hadn't seen him for over a year. And we met and my first thought was, I thought he was taller. And then as we began to talk, one of the constant reoccurring phrases was, I'm just so beaten down. And once we talked about the physiology, mm-hmm, he began to grow before my eyes.
That's a great story.
It was very fascinating to me how that story in his head that, mm-hmm, this past year had beaten him down and it was showing up in his body.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's, yes, the story always shows up no matter what. And you have to give yourself permission too. Sometimes you can get all of the self-worth and value and stuff like that. Or one of the things I see a lot is some people don't seem like they, or don't feel at a very deep level, like they even have permission to exist or permission to move forward in their lives or permission to have abundance or permission to not have pain. And so really, at the end of the day, it's a lot of, I work with people to really help reclaim their personal power.
Oh yeah. It's so fascinating to me how all of this is connected. Our story is connected. It's, mm-hmm, amazing to me. And to listen to the stories that we say also about other things, one of them that comes to mind is I hear people say, he, she, it is such a pain in the rear. And yet they're sitting there on their sit bones talking about a low pain, a low back pain or a neck pain or something. And I'm like, ah, just a thought. Could that be a thread that needs to be followed? Yeah. That the way you're talking about some external,
sure,
thing could be.
Absolutely. Well, and I think when you come to the place, and I'll just share a little personal story, is I have really come to work a lot with vagus nerve, with voice professionals, like public speakers and actors. And that, you know, by the time somebody has a voice issue, usually their vagus nerve is compressed everywhere else and it just can't compensate anymore through here. But lost voice is the story of my childhood. And it's the karmic backstory of my astrology chart as well. And as I've kind of come into working with voice, I had this thought that my youth choir instructor, who would not let me sing, she used to make me mouth the words. And I didn't have a voice at home, so I didn't feel like I could tell my parents that that was happening. So I just mouthed the words for years in choir. And I had this thought, I was like, oh, wow, maybe I need to thank her. Like, I'm really, you know, that I had this like terrible, you know, my voice taken away from me, but look at where it's gotten me right now. Like, this is really amazing.
I think we had the same music teacher. I too had a really bad experience with a music teacher and never sang until much later in life, decided to even sing Happy Birthday to my kids was a big emotional.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I get that. I had that same issue with my kids and the happy birthday song too. Yeah.
And you know, just this weird things that happen in our childhood that affect many years of development. Amazing.
Absolutely. But being able to now to see that story as like, oh, look at how it served me versus look at how it traumatized me, then helps, you know, then that rewrites the story of how my vagus nerve lives in my body.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I'd be doing the body language verbal work that I'm doing if it hadn't been for that as well. It's my, yeah. I'll show you kind of part of me came out, you know, part of me came out. We're just down to the last 5 minutes. I can't believe it. Melanie, tell us any final thoughts. We'll have to have you back because this area just always fascinates me. It's, to me, it's overlooked in the larger medical community and really needs to have a spotlight shown on it so we can explore it. Well, it may work, it may not work, but gosh, I'm all about exploring these types of things and offering opportunities and check with your medical providers. Melanie, any final thoughts?
I'll just say that when we think about alignment, often we think way too small about it. And when we think about where this rotation comes from and where we're rotating, because, and we can, I would love to come back and talk more about this because there's research that shows that our vagus nerves synchronize with the electromagnetic field of the earth. And that like one really common thing that I see is that people end up, the right side of your diaphragm has more muscle mass than the left. So theoretically the right side will always win. So I see a lot of people locked down on the right side, but the earth below us and the solar system above us all rotate the opposite direction. So when we're out of alignment and we're really not, you know, and you lose that rotation, you lose rotation on a really big scale. And
oh my gosh, now we are going to have talk about that when you come back, because I'm thinking, I always thought that was because I was right-handed. I always thought maybe because I used muscle segment more, you know?
Yeah, maybe not. I understand how that plays into it. I also to tell you that in some people, you can do all the vagus nerve exercises that, you know, you could do those till the cows come home, until they get their, like a little bit more of an esoteric rotation corrected, you know, and get that bigger alignment in place, they do not start to feel better. And so there's, you know, there are many layers onto which this, you know, like into how this works. And so, you know, and this is like, and so I have found that approaching it this way is very powerful, and that you can really, and it gives people a good image to work with, and your brain doesn't see doing something and imagining doing something is any different. So having the visual imagery to go with it is incredibly, incredibly important.
And we've had experts talk about the power of visualization and whether you're actually physically running that marathon or shooting the hoops, I think was the example they gave of the studies of shooting basketballs or just visualizing shooting hoops, and that the results were pretty astounding.
You will even get increased bicep muscle mass from imagining doing bicep curls.
Oh my gosh. Okay, everyone. a new challenge.
It really works.
Imaginary exercise, a new challenge. Yep. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yep. But Melanie, tell us about we're just down to the last couple of minutes. I know we could just go on and on because I find this area is so fascinating, but tell us about that self-assessment you have and where we can get it.
If you go to melanieweller.com, there's a little box that says vagus nerve you can click on, and you will, when you opt in, you will be able to download the written handout and see the video of the full self-assessment and treatment exercises, which are my foundational exercise program to decompress your vagus nerve so you can do it yourself. And then I also work with people one-on-one, and you know, please reach out to me. You can email me at ask@melanieweller.com or contact me via my website, and I'm happy to discuss that with anyone who's interested.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. I wish we had more time because, as I said, this area just fascinates me, and that the vagus nerve, I think, is, as I mentioned, is overlooked. So take Melanie up on the offer, go do the self-assessment, and be able to take that to your own healthcare providers and just ask, could this possibly be? I'm always in favor, you know, ask, because this really is a new area of research. You'll find a lot of it out there. That's an explosive area of growth that I'm so thrilled is being looked at now for not just autoimmune. It covers a wide range of, as they say, dis-ease in the body. as well. And from what we heard today, also in our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. So thank you so much, Melanie, for being on the show tonight. Everyone, I'll have her website up at understandingautoimmune.com. So if you're maybe out for a walk or something, I know many of you like to go out and move about as you listen to the show, you'll be able to find it there at Understanding Autoimmune. Be sure and join us on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune, Twitter, and Instagram as well. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any great guest ideas, send those over. You can find that over at Understanding Autoimmune. Contact us to share with us your great guest ideas, like Melanie was a great guest idea of a mutual friend of ours. So be sure and do that as well. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, be sure and join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take a moment now to go to your favorite spot. That's right, you know the spot. Take a look around and notice all the colors, the patterns, the textures. As you get comfortable here in your favorite spot, noticing all the nooks and crannies, shake it out, wiggle it out, relaxing all those nooks and crannies in your body here, right now in your favorite spot. Take a moment to savor the temperature, your favorite temperature. Take a moment to savor the smells. That's right. Take a nice deep inhale and relaxing exhale to cleanse out any little remaining discomfort. Let it go now. Noticing the feeling of safety you have here in your spot, your favorite spot. Taking a nice deep inhale, savoring the exhale in the feeling of safety here in your spot. Now take a moment and ask those parts of you, is there anything they'd like to share here in this moment of safety, this place of safety? That's right. Any little thought that passes through, thank it for coming. Without judgment or label, thank it for coming. And just comment, isn't that interesting? And let it go. That's right. Continue to invite any little part of you to share what it's been wanting to share from this place of safety. No judgments, no labels. Knowing that it's safe here with you right now, right here in your favorite spot. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And let it go. Thanking each and every part of you that shared just now, with gratitude and appreciation for being willing to bring this up right now, to share with you, to know that you can use your imagination, curiosity, and creativity to work through anything that was brought up or wandered through just now. Ask those parts of you that are in charge of your imagination, creativity, and curiosity to get to work on them right now. That's right. Now that we've charged our imagination, creativity, and curiosity, take a couple of nice deep cleansing breaths, knowing that we can come back to this spot anytime, anywhere, and ask imagination, creativity, and curiosity what it is we need to know next. That's right. Taking all the time you need right now. One more deep cleansing breath, coming back awake, aware, alert, and alive, ready to start your day again. That's right. Letting it go. Welcome back.